Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. So thank you so much, Dr. Jones, for hopping on a call with us today. For those people that don't know you, can you share a little bit about what it is you do and where your credentials come from?
Yeah, sure. I work with entrepreneurs, executives, high-performing athletes, people that just live high-performing lives. I do work with military veterans as well as people that are currently in operation. I've been in video consults with them over in Afghanistan and Iraq over the years. So it's been really rewarding to be able to add value to that population group. And so just people that are, I guess you could say, a little bit cut from a different cloth than everyone else that are what I would consider world changers. I look at entrepreneurs, I look at soldiers, I look at people that are putting down kind of their life on the line as high-performing individuals. And so those are the people I serve in my private virtual health consulting business. And we work with people around the world, across America, Canada, England, Australia, Japan, Saudi Arabia. And so it's been a really amazing, incredible opportunity to add value to people. But we take a little bit of a different approach in that we look at an individual holistically and address the challenges that are blocking them from maximizing their internal optimal body physiology, as well as really accessing what their human potential genetically is capable of achieving. And so we look at really optimizing the human being and really looking at the things that are blocking your ability to get there and how to really access that. So my background, I graduated from one of the most prestigious health and wellness universities in the world called Life University in Atlanta, Georgia. And I worked in one of the largest health centers in the world in Orlando, Florida. And I did that for a couple of years and connected with a friend of mine, Steve Linder, who inspired me to look at making a bigger impact in the world through connecting with people virtually. And so now I have a virtual practice. I work with people around the world. I serve people in all these different countries. And we do that in customized programs that are specific to your body physiology. So we typically will look at your lab tests. We do really functional lab tests. And then from there, we'll customize a program to address what's inhibiting you from accessing your highest level of potential as a human being from a physiological perspective. And then we'll work on getting to work on maximizing your health moving forward. So that's a little bit about me and what I do now. And yeah.
Awesome. That's amazing. And a whole lot to explain to everyone else. So really, we'd love to dive a little bit deeper in, especially with the audience that we're serving today. These guys and women have spent time and time again, years of their lives going out into battle, into service. And some of them have been through tremendous experiences. And one of the biggest things that we're finding is the effects and are the reaction that they're having after coming back from deployment, for instance, when they're out in the field for months at a time, and they're usually eating off of MREs and things like that, and typically not the best nutrition or hydration to sustain optimal health. How would you explain and or help understand really what's going on there, especially when these guys are coming home and they start to experience symptoms from depression or anxiety, especially after post-deployment?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. And it's a unique situation because the people I've worked with that have been overseas and have come back over to America or Canada are the two kind of soldier groups that I've worked with. What I've realized is that there's some challenges just being over there. First of all, even though they're getting fed food, the contractors for the governments are not giving the highest quality food that we could be eating. So a lot of them are eating foods that are very highly sprayed with pesticides, foods that are oftentimes processed to be able to get overseas the way that they do. And then, of course, they're drinking a lot of water, typically out of plastic bottles, and the plastic bottles are being shipped in relatively hot containers. So there's a lot of phthalates in the water that they're drinking that end up causing hormone dysregulation, neurotransmitter deficiencies, and can cause some brain kind of challenges in respect to stress and anxiety and things of that nature. And then there's the whole challenge with the move back home. There's a certain lifestyle that your physiology, your body, your neurotransmitters, your brain gets used to. It's almost expected. And then when you get back home, there's a difference in life experience that impacts your physiology in such a way that really does create a stress on the body, even unconsciously. And so there's definitely some challenges that may be able to be addressed very easily through different lifestyle changes or lab tests that you could get to look under the hood of the car to figure out what's going on with your body. So that's the kind of landscape that they're exposed to. But one of the reasons why one person gets anxiety, another person gets post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, another person gets chronic fatigue syndrome, is that we're all exposed to, or we all have predisposed in us, different genetic kind of predispositions. So there could be a genetic predisposition for fibromyalgia or for chronic fatigue for one person. Another have a genetic predisposition for depression. So given a particular environment of environmental toxins and stressors, sometimes those physiological pathways genetically are triggered. And then that results in the symptoms and the disease that they're experiencing. So it is typically a multifactorial issue. And unfortunately, the majority of doctors look at it very myopically and will look at one thing, you being that you have depression and here's the medication you need to go on to balance serotonin levels, which oftentimes isn't even the underlying root cause of the depression, right? So there's a lot of examples like that, but they're not addressing you as a holistic person. They're typically addressing you as a problem that needs quick fixing through symptoms suppression by getting on a medication, unfortunately.
Awesome. And so just to clarify, so I'm understanding, and for anyone else that'll be watching this to understand, basically what you're saying, from what I'm understanding, is we all have certain genes. We're born with a certain possibilities of what we can turn on, in a sense. And depending on the environment, how we grow up, what we're around, it's either going to turn on or turn off certain genes that will allow us to either feel certain ways or experience life a certain way, where we're either activating ways of feeling more depressed or more anxious, or we're triggered by environmental factors that cause us to feel that way.
Absolutely. Yep. And oftentimes it's multifactorial, which means that it's not just caused by one thing. It could be the phthalates in the plastic bottles, plus the extreme amount of stress that you're under on one mission, plus the stress of not being around your loved ones, plus the toxins that you're consuming and the foods that you're eating, or whatever it may be. And this sounds very doom and gloom, but there's actually a lot of really great solutions we're going to get to in the rest of this interview to help people, no matter where they're at, maximize their health and get moving in a great direction.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm so excited to get there. And before we get there, the last thing that I really want to understand and help some of the other people watching this understand is what's happening on the other end of that. We mentioned a little bit about when we're coming back home from deployment, when they're coming back home from war and they're getting ready to get out and they start to have these symptoms coming up. And the typical standard practice as of right now is to go in and see their psychologist, and they go and they prescribe medication based on whatever those symptoms are, which aren't necessarily curing the symptoms. They're more so alleviating the current experience of it. So in that regard, help me understand a little bit more about what's happening when we're getting prescribed Prozac or something, for instance, for either experiencing depression or anxiety, and how that's affecting, whether it's positive or negative, the current symptoms we're having and what the effects of that are.
Yeah, it's a great question. It was a question I battled with when my mom was depressed and she was on Effexor after Prozac dosages weren't high enough for her to be able to feel well. And so when I was doing a lot of the research into serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are the Prozacs and the Effexors of the world, and there's a lot of other ones out there, what happens is it's a molecule, a synthetic molecule, it goes into your brain and it blocks the reuptake of serotonin. So serotonin is a molecule that gives you the feeling of being happy, right? It's a neurotransmitter, gives you the feeling of being happy. And so what it does is it blocks the ability for your brain to recycle the serotonin, which is what it's supposed to do, essentially increasing the amount of serotonin that stimulates the neurons that create the feeling of happiness. So typically what people experience being on serotonin reuptake inhibitors, if indeed it is a serotonin problem, is they feel a little bit better. They feel like, okay, this is good. I like being on this medication. And that may happen for the first 2 weeks to 4 weeks. And then oftentimes they get what they call a down regulation of receptor sites on the actual neuron that then causes you to have to go up in dose to be able to increase the amount of serotonin or increase serotonin at a higher level to then stimulate the neurons the way that they were a month ago before taking the medication. So what happens is you become reliant on these medications when really it's not, you don't have a deficiency of Prozac in your brain or your body, right? It's a deficiency oftentimes of neurotransmitters that aren't even serotonin that create a abnormal physiology in your brain that creates depression. So the fact that a lot of people are taking a lot of these medications, and this example, by the way, is across the board for a lot of other medications that people are taking, they become reliant on these medications. And if they try to go cold turkey off them, they start feeling like they're going to go crazy, or they experience a lot of symptoms associated with getting off the medication. So Joseph Glenn Mullen, who's a medical doctor from Harvard, wrote the book Prozac Backlash. Later on, he wrote a book called The Antidepressant Solution. There's a lot of great medical doctors out there and leaders in this field that have kind of helped people understand what the underlying causes are and how to properly get off their medication. So as a legal disclaimer, you never go off medication without proper medical supervision. So I'm not telling you that you should go off medications or the medications that you're on. I think you should work with a healthcare professional to do that. Or in the process, I would educate yourself through perhaps reading a book like The Antidepressant Solution by Dr. Joseph Glenn Mullen. And ultimately, what happened with my mom is she, from getting this education, she ended up weaning down off her medications over 6 months. So it wasn't like a quick period of time. But what she also did in replacement of the medication, she actually did some activities that helped to balance the neurology in her brain and increase the neurotransmitters that she was depleted in. And it helped her overcome her sleep insomnia. It helped her feel much more higher levels of energy throughout the day. And of course, over time, she overcame her depression, like long term, and she hasn't been on the medications ever since. That's just one kind of inspirational story. And I've worked with a lot of individuals that have done that themselves with amazing results as well. So what do you do, right? I would go to superhumanentrepreneur.com and then search neurotransmitter. And so, or just neuro, N-E-U-R-O, at superhumanentrepreneur.com. And I have an article that I wrote in detail of all these different lifestyle strategies that can help to boost serotonin or decrease serotonin or boost dopamine and decrease dopamine. So there's a lot of like practical things. Like if you're dopamine deficient, you're not able to focus very much. There's a couple of things that you could do every day to help to boost dopamine, like stretching and meditation, as weird as that sounds. There are certain things that you can do to increase serotonin throughout the day in your body. So if you go over to superhumanentrepreneur.com and you search neuro, you'll see an article on the brain and how to balance neurotransmitters naturally. And so I just read through that article, and ultimately it is good to get tested. However, we're in an age of biohacking where you can kind of experiment on a lot of this stuff yourself and try to figure it all out. But like I said before, it's always good to work with a medical professional, especially if you're trying to wean down off your medications.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to help understand, we know that psychology is a big piece of this for a lot of people. But we also know from a great friend, Steve Linder, who talks repeatedly about psychology being one big piece, but physiology is always going to trump that psychology. So no matter how great or how much we want to think positively, help me understand a little bit more and to elaborate on, even when we have the positive mentality, we want to think great, we want to feel good. If we're putting something into our body, understanding how that's actually affecting what we're thinking and the way that we think.
Yeah, well, every food that we put in our body, every physiological kind of issue that we're dealing with, it actually manifests itself in a way that affects the neurotransmitter levels in your brain, and it can affect neuropeptides in your brain and your body. And so it affects, in essence, the way that you feel, the way that you think even. And so I think it's a two-way street, right? We all always have to be working on our mindset and your physiology. I think a lot of people use poor psychology as an excuse for their bad physiology, or bad physiology as an excuse for their poor psychology. But I've seen people that have very poor physiologies that have started to shift their psychology and started to speak life into themselves and speak and communicate the things they want to create in their lives and the health that they want to have and things of that nature. And it ends up impacting their physiology in a powerful way. So again, it's a two-way street, but all of that ends up impacting your brain neurology, which can impact your thoughts and your overall psychology for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. And to go in a little bit more and understanding when we're taking somebody who they're getting out of service and they have a routine, they had a certain routine and a certain structure for however many years they were in, and they're getting ready to get out. And now they've been out for about 5, maybe 6 months, and the routine's not the same anymore. Maybe the PT has gone down. They're not working out as much. The diet has definitely changed because they're not eating the same cafeteria foods anymore. Now they're eating different meals and perhaps drinking habits have gotten up. How can we help and just give either a strategy or an understanding to these guys of really how to shift and maintain a certain level of health or increase our physiology to also impact our psychology moving out?
That's a great question. And so you were talking about circadian rhythms, which is what they have you in every single day when you're over in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever you're serving, in Japan, etc. There's so many challenges when we come back home because there's not the structure anymore. The camaraderie of team is no longer there. There's definitely a lack of consistency with diet. And there's oftentimes the comforts of being back in America, which are fast food and processed foods that perhaps they loved growing up that they didn't get to access overseas or whatever it may be. And there's certain patterns that you can get into over in America. And so ultimately, the government and the Army or the Navy or the Marines or wherever you're serving, the SEALs, wherever you're serving, there's a certain level of excellence in respect to high performance. So what you want to do is you want to kind of replicate the environment of high performance in your own life when you get back home. And the way to do that is to start creating a little bit more structure for yourself. Because ultimately, if you want to live a really incredible life, if you want to become fully alive, because a lot of people, when they come back home, it's like they're falling asleep to their life, you know? They're not really fully understanding the potential that lays in front of them of what is possible. Like one of my good friends, John Lee Dumas, he came back from being overseas and serving, and he launched this podcast called Entrepreneur on Fire. And so here he was, a U.S. soldier, and then he comes back and he's like, gosh, what do I want to do? And he creates this podcast business that is now generating a couple $1 million, $2 to $4 million a year for him in residual income. So what he did, and I've worked with him personally, is created a lot of structure and routine around what he did. And he's one of the most structured people. And I love working with people from the military because they have this, like, if I tell them what to do, I mean, they do it. So let's talk about what some of these people have implemented into their lives. They've implemented more of a regimented diet. So they stick with one type of a diet. Maybe it's a primal diet, right? Or a paleo diet. And they try to stick with that because that supports high performance in their body. Because they weren't eating the highest quality foods when they come back over, they're trying to eat a little bit more organic. A lot of them, if they're on a budget, like if their economy is an issue for them in respect to the amount of money they can spend on food, I recommend them going to EWG.org, environmentalworkinggroup.org. So EWG.org, or just Google search EWG Dirty Dozen. And just make sure that the Dirty Dozen foods are always organic. And the Clean 15 is another list that they have, which are foods that are some of the cleanest foods, even if they're quote-unquote conventional, that you don't necessarily have to buy organic. So making the dietary shift and creating kind of a label in respect to what you're wanting to commit to moving forward as far as your diet is a really big game changer for you. And what I found being the most successful diets, again, are the primal Paleolithic diet, as well as the diet that is more of an anti-inflammatory diet for these individuals. So anti-inflammatory is typically a little bit lower carb diet. So that really helps to decrease the amount of inflammation in the body. And because of just being overseas, there's a higher level of inflammation in your body, which may be the underlying cause of some of the depression or some of the PTSD, et cetera. And so I'm not saying it's the only cause, but it's a piece of the puzzle. And so going on a little bit of a lower or carb, primal or paleolithic diet or an anti-inflammatory diet is really, really good. Another diet that you guys may want to look into is the Mediterranean diet. So with that being said, they have a really specific kind of regimen around diet. Does that mean that they don't enjoy things from time to time? Absolutely not. But because they're already, like, their brains work a certain way that the rest of the population typically don't operate like, they have a higher level, or you listening have a higher level of consistency around some of these things because of your training. The other thing is just a regimented calendar. So the most successful post being overseas servant, really, like soldiers, etc., they follow a very regimented schedule. The soldiers that don't, they end up kind of like flying by the seam of their pants, and that's when going out and drinking every night with your buddies ends up getting the best of you or whatever. It ends up kind of the things around you, the environment around you is in control of you versus you being in control of your environment. So one of the things I always recommend is blocking your calendar with some of the most important activities. Like, for instance, one time block might be time to just chill out by yourself, go for a walk in nature, just kind of decompress. It might be mountain biking for you. It might be meditation. It might be doing some sort of spiritual activity. Some of you might be going to like a church or something like that, but like blocking time to invest back into yourself. Definitely these individuals like John Lee Dumas has time to work out. Like, it's blocked in his calendar. If you guys are still trying to figure out what you want to do or what you want to create, there's time to research and to create. So you don't need to block out your entire calendar, but the things that are most important that will allow for you to live a state of high performance and create like a replica high performance environment, like what you were experiencing over there, can actually give you the kind of excitement and fun and enjoyment that you had while you were over there, but actually over in U.S. soil or whatever country you're listening from.
Awesome. Awesome. And it's super, super powerful. I think the biggest thing that we oftentimes find is, especially for enlistees who did about 4 to 6 years, they get out and it's this newfound freedom of, oh my gosh, I don't have to be up 5 a.m. and do PT right away. And so for these guys, when they're finally starting to get out and experience this newfound freedom, what words of wisdom, what advice would we give to them in that temptation of kind of just taking it easy, but also making sure that we live and continue to live at a certain standard?
Yeah. Yeah. So can you repeat the question one more time? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So when these guys, especially for enlistees, for officers, they've been in it for a lot longer. So it's a much more hardwired routine for them. For enlistees, it's typically 4 to 6 years that they're in and they're getting out of service. And there's this newfound excitement of this freedom of, I don't have to be up at 0500. I don't have to go and do PT.
Right.
And oftentimes there's this large temptation to take it easy, to kind of just take this massive break. And we've been finding with other studies from other organizations that it's usually within the first 100 days that they start to experience massive changes in their psychology and their physiology, the symptoms of depression. All of these things typically tend to come up within the first 100 days. So to really get these guys on the right track, either words of wisdom or advice or tips on how to really combat that temptation and to keep some sort of regimen to get them into that cycle so that they're not completely shifting everything and then having that whirlwind of emotion and shift in their body. What would you recommend or advise for that?
Yeah, I'd certainly think it's fine to take a break when you get back. However, the break should be maybe a week to 2 weeks, depending on how intense it was. And then you wouldn't create a regimen or of high performance around you, perhaps the same as it was when you were serving. However, you want to create something that enables you to continue to live at a state of performance that is going to allow for your physiology and your body not to go through such a shocking transition. And so, again, it would be like creating a more regimented schedule. It would be like blocking out your calendar with time to work out, with time to play football or go to the swimming pool or walk on the beach or get out in nature, whatever it is. It's like really looking at the things that help to like rejuvenate you, but also keep your body and your mind sharp, I think is really important. So again, if you want to take a week or 2 weeks just to relax, I think that's okay. But a lot of people, when they come back, they're partying, their physiology goes through a massive toxic kind of exposure of one evening after another of consuming poor food choices, consuming a lot of alcohol, and that can be extremely damaging to the body. And so when I'm talking about R&R, we're talking about connecting with your friends and connecting with your family and giving yourself some rest, sleeping a little bit more, maybe going out and getting some massage or going to get some rehab on some of your joints or whatever may be aching you or whatever that may look like. It's really giving yourself a break from the norm isn't going out and eating as many Snickers bars and drinking as much alcohol as you can. Now, I mean, are you going to do that? Probably. But again, you want to be careful with how much you do that because that's going to have a major role in how fast you get into a state of physiological imbalance that can create that expression of depression or whatever it may be for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Again, really, really appreciate. We never want to necessarily tell anybody how to live their life, but I think the biggest thing in here is understanding the effects of different lifestyle choices can have on us. And if we're experiencing different symptoms or different experiences, understanding what might be the root cause of that. And if we can understand that, like you've explained so well, then we can actually make educated decisions and really shifting what we do and how we do the things, which in turn will affect how we experience life. And overall, being able to live life in a much more exciting and much more enjoyable way.
That's exactly right. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, please get out of this that every decision that you make has an outcome, right? Every word that you speak, you know, has power. And so we're creators and ultimately we can create amazing lives for ourselves. You have the possibility in front of you with kind of training that you have and the amount of discipline that you have that a lot of other people unfortunately don't have to put yourself at an unfair competitive advantage among so many other people because of your background, because of your training. And so I commission you to really think out of the box. Think about what is possible for you. Think about how meaningful life is and what you could create in the life that you have left. And a lot of the most talented people I've ever met have served, right? So most talented entrepreneurs, most talented CEOs, most talented athletes, right? The people I've connected with, they typically have, not all of them, but like a lot of them have this background of what you have come from. So recognize that that is to your advantage. Recognize that you have an incredible just future that lays ahead of you. And my commission to you really is to think out of the box and really think about what is possible and think big, because ultimately if we start thinking in a way that is inspiring to ourselves and to the people around us, and it might be like, you don't even know, how is it possible for me to create this? How could I possibly do this? Well, there's the old saying that the map appears when the car is in motion. So if you think up and dream up a beautiful life for yourself and you start going in motion towards that, the map will appear, right? So you want to just maintain a positive psychology. You want to think a little outside the box and really create, or a lot outside the box is the way I like to think, and create an amazing life for yourself. Your language has impact, your thoughts have impact on you, and I'm just happy that we're able to connect today and inspire the people listening to live their best life and move forward by creating those environment of high performance just like they came from.
Absolutely. And thank you so, so much for taking the time out of your day to just talk with us a little bit more and share with us some of your insights and really educating everyone listening on the power and the importance of having a key physiology and how that really impacts your psychology. And for anyone listening who wants to find out more about you, what you do, and wants to get in touch, where can we send them or what should they check out if they want to find out more?
If you want to consult with us one-on-one, you can go to elevates.com. It's ElevayS. It's Elevated Days brought together, created the word Elevays. And so we're passionate about helping people elevate every day and experience more in their lives. And if you just click the consultation button, you can connect with one of the doctors in the company. If you want to connect with me, just let them know inside of the application. However, just note that my rates are higher than the other people in my organization. So I look forward to having our company and our systems support you to access high performance for the rest of your life. And if that's the case, check out elevays.com, ElevayS.com. And we look forward to serving you in a consultation. And by the way, if you don't want to connect in a consultation, still go to elevays.com because we've got a lot of amazing recipes, health strategies, high performance strategies that will help you transform your health moving forward.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Jones. We really, really appreciate it. Is there anything that you would like to say, any other words of wisdom that you want to give to our military or veterans?
No, I think that I've said what I want to say. I'll just let you know that you don't need to be perfect in everything that you do. Like, it's all about progress, not perfection. So if you come out of this world of high performance, it's okay if you're not perfect in creating your dream life out of the gate. It may take a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of podcast listening from Sophie, a little bit of connecting with inspiring people, but you're going to get there. And that's why we exist. Sophie, I love what you're doing, what you're up to, love what you're committed to, and just keep being the incredible person that you are, getting messages out there that can really make a meaningful difference in these veterans' lives.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much, Dr. Jones, for everything. And I cannot wait to see what we create and to hear some of the amazing stories that are going to come from people who are listening to this just like you guys right now. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have an absolutely fantastic, amazing day. And we will speak with you very, very soon.